Behind the Arc, a look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc, hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc, here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome to the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Behind the Arc, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 99.1, thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app brought to you by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all. Thank you so much for checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. Tennessee now 4-0 after a 103-49 win over Tennessee Tech. That's a winless Tennessee Tech team that is now 0-8. The Vols improving to 4-0. They've played all four of their games at Thompson Bowling Arena. They're going to have two more non-conference games before they take on Missouri in the SEC opener. So I think for Tennessee, you're seeing the Vols do exactly what they need to be doing. And they beat two good opponents in Colorado and Cincinnati. And that's not the same caliber as playing Gonzaga, as Tennessee was originally supposed to. But two good teams that can play good defense with the Buffaloes and the Bearcats, and Tennessee has taken care of business in its last two games this past week against Appalachian State and Tennessee Tech. Tennessee winning by 41 earlier in the week against the Mountaineers and beating Tech by 54. Just a fantastic performance from Tennessee. And yes, it's against a team that is not very good, but when you look at how Tennessee's offense had been playing, and Tennessee had been missing open shots and missing good looks and needing to get to the free throw line more to generate offense, it was nice to see Tennessee go out and just play with a ton of effort. And that's what really stood out to me, was in the second half of this game, Tennessee's up by 27 at the half. And throughout the entire second half, Tennessee keeps its foot on the gas, and it still has starters out there or guys that are early in the rotation coming off the bench playing significant minutes, and you still had guys like Drew Pember, Rose Plavsic, Olivier Kumwa. I mean, none of those guys played more than 10 minutes. So you're still seeing Rick Barnes try to get the most out of the guys that he wants on the floor most often. Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson playing a lot in the second half. You had Josiah Jordan James, Santiago Vescovi, who were still on the court late in the second half. John Fulkerson has had a pretty easy week. He hasn't had to play more than 25 minutes in a single game and just played 21 last night and still put up 13 points and 6 rebounds with a block and a pair of assists. But I think for Tennessee, just to see the effort that this team has and that guys are still wanting to make plays and that guys on the bench are engaged, those are the performances that you want to see, even though it's against a team like Tennessee Tech. But when we're talking about a team that had struggled offensively, to go out and shoot 58% against anybody is impressive. To shoot 47% from behind the arc against anybody is impressive. And to go out and just out-rebound a team and force a bunch of turnovers and only commit 7 turnovers. Tennessee didn't play sloppy basketball, and that's what Rick Barnes has been wanting to see from his team. So Jaden Springer, 21 points in 22 minutes, 8 of 10 from the field. He's had a really efficient week offensively, 2 of 3 from behind the arc. Keon Johnson, 5 of 8 from the field, finished with 13 points, 2 of 3 from behind the arc. Josiah Jordan James, another pretty good day shooting from the perimeter, 3 of 5 from the field. So he's 6 of 8 from 3-point range in his last two games. 15 points last night, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 6 of 8 from the field overall in just 26 minutes. Tennessee had 6 players score in double figures, along with James, Johnson, and Springer. You had Victor Bailey Jr. shooting 5 of 8, scoring 15 points in just 20 minutes. Eve Pons with his best offensive performance of the season, going 5 of 9 with 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks, which looked absolutely comical with how easy he makes it look. Also added a steal, finished with 10 points. Fulkerson, 6 of 10 from the floor for the 13 points that I mentioned earlier. And it's great to see Tennessee just playing team basketball like this. Fulkerson, after playing 21 minutes, scoring 13 points, is on the bench, and the SEC network kept kind of joking about how Fulkerson was on the bench with his hands on his hips, acting like a coach. And it's great to see guys engage like that during a blowout win. And Tennessee Tech, they came out really trying to fire on all cylinders. Their first 5 trips down the floor ended with a 3-point shot attempt. They hit 2 of them, and half of their shots ended up being from outside. So a team that just decided, look, we're going to just swing big all night long and see what we can come up with. And Tennessee's defense, limited quality shot opportunities. Tennessee Tech had a couple of good looks early, but you're talking about now the third-ranked defense in terms of efficiency in the country. So Tennessee has steadily climbed up those rankings over the past week. First 2 weeks ago, the Vols were seventh in the nation in defensive efficiency. And then you win a couple games, you play some good defense, Tennessee jumped up to fifth. Then Tennessee moved up to fourth in front of Virginia. Now Tennessee has moved up to third in defensive efficiency, moving ahead of Texas. So the Vols now the third-ranked team in defensive efficiency in all of college basketball. And Tennessee entered last night averaging 47 points allowed per game. Tennessee Tech scored 49. So Vols coming very close to lowering their season average in what was a impressive performance last night. And I think for Rick Barnes, he was really impressed with what he saw from his team. And there's not a whole lot you can complain about when your team shoots nearly 60% from the field. Tennessee had 72 shot attempts. Tennessee Tech with just 58. The Vols with 14 foul shots. Tennessee Tech with just 9. And so Tennessee generating all those turnovers. And when you win the turnover battle from a near 2-to-1 ratio, you're going to give yourselves opportunities to go out and make plays. Tennessee with 12 offensive rebounds. They out-rebounded Tennessee Tech 45-26. Just a bigger team, more athletic. And this should not be the measuring stick for where Tennessee is going to be this season. But Tennessee didn't get sloppy against an overmatched opponent. They didn't settle for bad shots. They got back to the things that has made this team successful over the last 3 years. There was good ball movement, good passing, 28 assists for Tennessee last night. That is far and away the most that we've seen this season. We're used to seeing Tennessee up towards 17-18, and we hadn't really seen Tennessee get there yet. The Vols focused on good ball movement, good shot making, smart shooting decisions, really utilized those baseline and backdoor cuts well. They were not afraid to get the ball inside. The perimeter guys doing well to hit shots from outside, but also giving up good shots to find a teammate that had a look at a great shot. And I thought you saw more of that unselfish play that has made Tennessee basketball what it has been under Rick Barnes. And anytime you go out and you have six players score in double figures, and Santiago Viscovi's going 0-for. That goes to show how potent this offense can potentially be. And Viscovi contributing other ways on the court, just 21 minutes, only 4 shots on the night, but 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And I think for Tennessee, all across the map, it's nice to see what Tennessee can potentially do. And hearing the reports on the SEC network that TV networks had originally approached Tennessee about playing last night in Madison Square Garden against Villanova, couldn't get out of the contract with Tennessee Tech. But it goes to show that TV wants to see the Volunteers play. Tennessee's a top 10 team. It is one of the best defenses in college basketball. And you've heard me say this statistic over and over again. I said it on the last podcast episode, I'm pretty sure, but I'm going to say it again. Each national champion in the KenPom era, which is since 2002, has been ranked in the top 20 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. Tennessee has been outside the top 50 for most offensive efficiency. They have jumped up to 34 after the win last night. So KenPom understands the analytics that, yes, it is against a Tennessee Tech team that is now 0-8, and it's ranked 333 in the KenPom rankings. But to shoot that well against any team in college basketball is not guaranteed. And Tennessee was able to get a bunch of easy looks right around the rim, but still shot well from the mid-range, still shot well from the perimeter, and didn't decide to just jack up a bunch of threes. Only shot 19 three-point attempts. So Tennessee, 4 games in, still has not shot 20 threes in a game, which is the way Rick Barnes often prefers his team to operate. And Tennessee doing so without being that fast-paced of a team. They picked up the pace quite a bit last night, but still ranking outside the top 300 in adjusted tempo. So for Tennessee, being 4-0 has now gone up about 20 ranks in offensive efficiency. So Tennessee is getting closer to operating in a way that it needs to compete at a high level. And I think Missouri is going to provide a tough test coming up here at the end of the month. Missouri currently 35th in the KenPom rankings, 26th in offensive efficiency, 41st in defensive efficiency. Of course, wins over Oregon and Illinois are going to be hard to ignore. But I'm excited about what the Volunteers could continue to do if they can keep finding ways to shoot like that. And just because it's Tennessee Tech doesn't mean Tennessee can't have success against other teams getting the ball inside and finding easy buckets. If Efpon starts to settle in offensively, that's something that Tennessee could really take advantage of. And if John Fulkerson continues to have more efficient offensive performances like he did last night, shooting 60% from the field, those are the nights that Tennessee needs to utilize its front court. And Rick Barnes talked about that with Efpon settling in on the offensive end. He said, quote, "With Eve, I want to see Eve get to the foul line. We know he has his little soft quick ups. I want to see him attack the rim more. We want to get him to the foul line. He works too hard not to do that. Not concerned at all about him shooting the ball, because once he does what he practices and stays in rhythm with what we do, he's fine there. I don't think he has shot a free throw this year. We want to see him do that." So Barnes wanting to see Pons attack the rim more. And obviously that's been something that has been said with the scouting report from him coming out of France when he first committed to Tennessee. It's something that he probably heard a lot about going through the draft process, is he needs to develop his jump shot. And that's something I've said on this podcast before. So he's focusing on that. But what Barnes wants to see him do, hey, use your athleticism and physicality to get to the rim. And when teams know, when defenses know that you're someone that likes to go to the rim, they're going to have to soften up on you out on the perimeter, out in the mid-range, and it's going to continue to open up that mid-range turnaround jumper that Pons likes to use from the free throw line. So there's opportunities for Pons to continue to develop himself offensively. Jaden Springer, of course, leading Tennessee last night with 21 points in just 22 minutes, 8 of 10 from the field, which means I believe he is 14 of 18 from the field in his last two games. So a really nice week for Jaden Springer, who continues to make things happen. 21 points, 6 boards, 6 assists, and a steal. And Barnes, it's not often that he only gives high praise to a player, but said last night, Jaden Springer was terrific. I thought he really played within himself. He had a great feel for what he was looking for. Taking care of the ball was huge. His assists were terrific. Jaden really understands where he wants to get the ball for himself. He obviously is a very good finisher, mid-range, close to the basket. He's great at that. He has worked really hard on his three-point shot. I thought he showed great balance. Defensively, he continues to get better overall there. We know he can guard the ball. I just thought he was terrific all the way around tonight. Rick Barnes doesn't do that. Rick Barnes gives his players praise, but he also has something on the back end to go with it, something he wants to see a player work on a little bit more. And if Jaden Springer's doing that, even against a team like Tennessee Tech, for him to be as efficient as he was and did it without a turnover, 6 assists, no turnovers, good balance, I think he's right. Just 3 outside shots, got to the foul line, went 3-for-4 from the charity stripe and shot 8 of 10 from the field overall, and to score 21 points with 6 assists. So you're contributing essentially to 14 different field goals, going 8 of 10 with 6 assists, 21 points plus the 6 assists in just 22 minutes. It doesn't get much more efficient than that for an individual performance. So Barnes is clearly liking what he sees out of his freshmen. I really think that Springer and Johnson, at least one of them, if not both of them by the end of the year, but one of them I think very soon, is ultimately going to play their way into the starting lineup. And maybe these guys are better coming off the bench, but at some point these guys are going to start. I'll be very surprised if your backcourt is Vescovi, James, and Victor Bailey Jr. the entire year. And it's not a knock on any of those guys. Those guys have clearly played well. I thought Victor Bailey Jr. had his best performance in a Tennessee uniform so far this year. Was 2 of 2 from outside, 5 of 8 from the floor. I thought he did some really good things. You didn't see those bad misses that you had seen from him when he's had some open looks from outside in those first couple of games. And I thought he did a nice job at getting to the foul line. But just with Springer and Johnson both having nights where they play so well and are putting in so much effort, especially on defense, I think that's going to be a little bit hard for Rick Barnes to ignore. So Tennessee gets the win 103-49 over Tennessee Tech. The Vols now 4-0 on the season. They are ranked 10th in the AP poll, 9th in the KenPom rankings, 34th in offensive efficiency, 3rd in defensive efficiency. And keep in mind, Tennessee started the year ranked 20th in the KenPom rankings. So the Vols have already jumped up in a hurry. They have moved just ahead of Texas Tech And in terms of those defensive efficiency rankings, Texas Tech at number one, Clemson at number two. That means Tennessee is ahead of Texas, Virginia, West Virginia, Kansas, Wisconsin, Baylor. Gonzaga's at number 15. Those are some really good basketball teams that Tennessee is ahead of in terms of the defensive efficiency rankings. So we will come back. There's a big game on Saturday. Iowa and Gonzaga will look ahead at the college basketball weekend as Tennessee improves to 4-0. The Vols will next be in action on Monday against St. Joseph's. That's a 6 o'clock tip-off, so you can catch that game on The Sports Animal. We will have that coverage for you, so be sure to check that out. And then Tennessee will face USC Upstate on Wednesday before the Vols take on Missouri in the SEC opener the following week. I'm Joel Silverberg. You're listening to the Behind the Arc podcast. It's a really good college basketball slate. I know Saturday is championship weekend in college football, but there are some really good matchups happening in college basketball. And two of the best ones, I think, are at noon on Saturday. Third-ranked Iowa going up against top-ranked Gonzaga. Gonzaga's a 4.5-point favorite as they meet at the Pentagon in South Dakota. And then also at noon, you've got Louisville going up against Wisconsin, two top 25 teams that have been playing some pretty good basketball. Wisconsin's only loss of the year is to Marquette, and Louisville is ranked 23rd in the country and is off to a 4-0 start. Gonzaga and Iowa, two of the top five teams in the KenPom rankings. Wisconsin is fifth in the KenPom rankings despite being 12th in the AP poll. Louisville down at 22nd, so their KenPom ranking almost identical to that of their ranking in the Associated Press poll. But Gonzaga and Iowa, this one could be a real barn burner. You're talking about the top two offenses in college basketball in terms of efficiency. Iowa number one, Gonzaga number two. Defense is where Gonzaga's got the edge. It's ranked 15th in defensive efficiency. Iowa is ranked 78th. And that's something I've been saying for a while now, where Iowa has to improve if it really wants to be able to keep up with the best teams in college basketball. And Iowa has shown that it can do that. It has a win over North Carolina, beat up on Iowa State earlier this month, but it also hasn't been tested outside of that. And that's not a great Iowa State team this year. Gonzaga has played on a national stage already, and it's only played power conference opponents. It started off the season with the win over Kansas in the Fort Myers tip-off. It beat Auburn handily. It's not a great Auburn team, but then it was supposed to play Baylor. That obviously didn't happen. It played West Virginia in the Jimmy V Classic. It got a really good test from the Mountaineers and ended up winning that game by five. So then, of course, Gonzaga had to shut down, cancel four games, and then is now getting back into the swing of things with Iowa. So for Iowa, obviously it revolves around Luka Garza, but what do you do exactly if you're Gonzaga? Because if you double team Garza in the block, well, then he can just kick it out because they've got so many good three-point shooters. Iowa is such a great team offensively. It has so many weapons with the different ways that it can beat you, and they're putting up points like crazy. Three guys are averaging in double figures, but you've got three more that are averaging 7 points per game or more, and Iowa as a team is shooting nearly 40% from three-point range. So if you're going to give a lot of attention to Luka Garza down low, chances are somebody's going to be open on the perimeter, and that's dangerous. Joe Wieskamp is averaging 15 points per game, is shooting 50% from three-point range. I love what CJ Frederick and Jordan Bohannon can offer out in the backcourt, because it offers Iowa so many different looks as to how they can distribute the ball, how they can score. They're a good passing team, 24 assists per game. This is an offense that is almost impossible to keep up with, but they are easily getting their best test of the season with this Gonzaga Bulldogs team. So it's right now, I think it is easily the game of the year in the regular season. I know that was expected to be Gonzaga-Baylor. It's unfortunate that that game had to get canned the way it did. Drew Timmy and Corey Kispert are both averaging more than 22 points per game. And then Joel Ayayi, Jalen Suggs, Andrew Nembhard, both averaging more than 10 points. Nembhard's been coming off the bench. And that's how crazy that lineup is, because Nembhard started at Florida, was going to be a graduate transfer, was going to play immediately, could have gone to any team he wanted to and would have started at 98% of Division I teams in college basketball, goes to Gonzaga, comes off the bench, and is a pretty big part of what they do. 19 assists per game. It's a team that gets pretty decent rim protection, shooting just 29% from three-point range, however. So not quite the numbers that you would like to see in a game that could be a real big-time shootout, but it's about what Gonzaga can do getting close to the rim because Timmy is so good inside. Jalen Suggs has a lot of athleticism that he can get to the basket. So it's a matter of which team can make more plays on defense because we know that Iowa can rain down threes. We saw that in their matchup against North Carolina. When they get rolling, they made 17 three-pointers in that game. So we know that Iowa can absolutely go off, but we know Gonzaga can too. And Gonzaga is playing like the top team in college basketball. It's really hard to believe that one of their arguably their best player coming into this season opted out and elected to go play professionally overseas before getting ready for the NBA. Corey Kispert has done an excellent job shooting 45% from three-point range, 60% from the field, averaging 22 points per game. It's just been crazy what these two teams have been able to put up from a number standpoint. That game is at noon. And I would not sleep on this Wisconsin-Louisville game either. Louisville's got a pretty big December. They're going to play Wisconsin. They're going to play Kentucky. Louisville 19th in offensive efficiency, 26th on defense. Wisconsin 16th in offensive efficiency, 7th on defense. And, of course, a Wisconsin team that will kill you with fundamentals and find ways to beat you if you're playing sloppy and you're getting flat-footed. So really impressed with what Wisconsin's able to do. And outside of that Marquette game, they really haven't been tested. They did get a win over Rhode Island, and that's probably their best win of the season. They did not look good in that win over Loyola Chicago. Their game against Northern Iowa was canceled with the Panthers kind of shutting things down. They don't have A.J. Green anymore. And so now facing a Louisville team that feels like, hey, we weren't ranked coming into this season. We won a couple games, still weren't ranked, and now we're just finally starting to get some respect. And decent wins over Seton Hall and Western Kentucky, but outside of that, you're talking about two teams that have not really had a trademark win. So a lot to play for both teams in terms of the landscape in non-conference play. And, of course, Louisville, the whole thing with Chris Mack going back and forth with John Calipari about playing or not playing Kentucky, that game is set for next Saturday. So enjoy the basketball action because there's a lot of good stuff coming with the college basketball weekend, all in the mix of championship weekend in college football. You've also got North Carolina playing Kentucky, so kind of shuffled some matchups around. They're going to play in Ohio with the CBS Sports Classic. Kentucky originally supposed to play UCLA before getting ready for Louisville. Kentucky's got to be careful. That's a North Carolina team that is much improved from the disaster that was last season. So if Kentucky's not careful, it could be looking at its fifth straight loss and falling to 1-5. That game is at 2 o'clock. At 12 noon, Auburn takes on Troy. Alabama faces Western Kentucky at 2. Could be a good test for the Crimson Tide. Ole Miss, I think, could have a good test as it heads to Dayton to take on the Flyers. That game at 2:30. Georgia takes on Cincinnati. Georgia 5-0. They have played nobody. Vanderbilt takes on Radford at 8 o'clock. And then a handful of games that have been postponed. South Carolina and Clemson, LSU, North Texas, and then Florida and Florida Atlantic. And great news to see Keontae Johnson releasing a video of him thanking everybody for the support that he's had over the last week since collapsing on the court against Florida State. So that has been awesome to see that Keontae Johnson's able to recover. Florida has opted to shut things down for the time being. It canceled three games, and so it will not play again until it opens SEC play against Vanderbilt on December 30th. On Sunday, Arkansas takes on Oral Roberts. That's the only SEC team in action on Sunday, and then along with Tennessee beating Tennessee Tech on Friday, Missouri's game against Prairie View A&M was canceled. So Missouri was not in action, so the Tigers waiting for their next opportunity to play. But that Saturday slate is epic for college basketball, and it's kind of a bummer that it's on the same day as championship weekend in college basketball because you feel like you need three or four DVRs to be able to watch everything. A couple of sneaky good games that you might want to watch out for on Sunday as well at 1 o'clock in Big Ten play. You have Illinois taking on Rutgers, so two top 20 teams. Rutgers is undefeated. Illinois is 5-2, but those two losses are to two teams that are pretty good at basketball, so losing to Baylor and then losing to Missouri. Oklahoma State was 6-0 to start the year. They lost their most recent game. They are taking on a 6-1 Texas team that is ranked 11th in the country at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Oklahoma State got off to a 6-0 start and then lost to TCU by one earlier in the week. So some great college basketball action in Power Conference play. Be on the lookout for all of it and enjoy the heck, especially out of that Iowa and Gonzaga game at 12 noon on Saturday. Have a great sports weekend. If you're taking some time to be with the family and you missed the next edition of the podcast, we're probably going to get one last one in before Christmas because Tennessee's got two games next week on Monday and Wednesday before the start of SEC play. So have a Merry Christmas. I will probably say that again later on this week. Enjoy the basketball action as you listen right here on the Behind the Arc podcast. Appreciate you listening. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to hit that subscribe button, leave a five-star rating and review, and tell a college basketball fan you know about Behind the Arc right here on The Sports Animal.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on The Sports Animal.